There are several places I'd like to read in the scripture and then come back, apply the same to the plan at hand, and understand that what you have in this is just a sketched out big picture plan that, according as God's people are gifted, as God has, and have opportunity, as we oftentimes do, that where you might find your particular niche in service, these are just a brief list of samples where if somebody's looking for work, somebody's looking to serve, here's some opportunities. But at the very least, it would be a desire on my part for the folks here to be on the prayer wagon about it, at the very least. There's much contained in the plan here that just by the very nature of the things at hand, you won't probably have a hand in unless it is of a secondary nature. So we'll try to dress that out as we go and as best as I can for tonight. And then we will be visiting again on this and giving you time for prayer and consideration on the Wednesday night next week to give you an opportunity to dress it down, to add to it, take away from it, tweak it, express your thoughts one way or the other on it. Lord willing, we will go with what we can, accomplish what we can, being mindful that God is primarily interested in the want to, not necessarily about the degree to which we are able to dot every I and cross every T. That'll be entirely up to Him. Place in Scripture I'd like to read. Several places in the Word. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, I just want to read these references and come back to them. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22. And I will emphasize the portion that will apply in its setting. We've already talked about the theme Sunday night and the essential necessity of God's people maintaining a proper vertical relationship to the Lord, an abiding relationship to Christ that will eventuate in ministry inside house, ministry outside the house, sowing abundantly. Now with that said, 1 Corinthians 9 verse number 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might, and here's the phrase, that I might by all means save some. By all means save some. Another reference I'd like to have you look with me at is in Romans chapter 11 and verse 14. He was speaking there to Gentiles. Says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. In verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. The caption there is, if by any means. And the word emulation is a word that means just simply to stir up or to stimulate someone upon contact. Okay? And the primary reason that they may obtain the blessings that we enjoy. Okay? By any means. Having to do there, of course, the apostles did not know, but God did. The apostles did not know. None of the writers of the scripture knew anything at all about technology. It was a technology in their day was much more primitive. Smoke signals, Pony Express, bottles in the ocean, verbal transmissions, all that kind of thing, face-to-face encounters, personal messengers, couriers, and the like. But when we think about the section in your plan on the technology part of it, we can at least glean from these couple of references the extent to which the apostle was willing personally to extend himself to accomplish his goal, to use by whatever means available to him. If the apostle Paul was living in our time, I'm sure he would use the same means that we have available to us today. Inasmuch as he did not, it remains for us to make common sense application of the tools that God has given us in this particular time zone, in this era. So we have a couple of other places. In Psalm 26, let me read that reference to you. Psalm 26. Psalm 26, and would you please look at verse 7. I'd like to read for the surrounding, the which is essentially a prayer for God's protection for David. Examine me, verse 2, O Lord. Declares, I have not sat with vain persons in verse 4. I will not go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. And then, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Publish and tell of all thy wondrous works. So when it comes down to print literature, publish and tell. Take what you write, take what you speak, and spread it abroad. Scatter the seed. Again, options and tools that the Apostle Peter likewise would chime in on at 1 Peter 2, verse 9, when he said that we are to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. Show them. Not only by how we live, but show them by how we serve. And certainly it embraces the entirety of our contact. Now, when we're talking about the technology and we're talking about the tools, I don't think that there is damage done to the application of the text mentioned as a motivation for us to utilize some of the things that God has given us, the passing of tracts, the bulk mailings, the other novel little inventions that we can muster that will be able to communicate or convey the gospel in its simplest, reduced form, and at the same time direct anyone who reads to a place where they can expand on their inquiries into something that God only in His mighty providence can do in a person's heart. It just takes a portion of the living word, and if you consider the power and the nature of God's word, to spark an interest in the heart of a person so they see the reference. And at that particular moment in time in their life, that would be just the thing that God would have them see. And now here's someplace I can go to get extra help. Phone number? More information? Another explanation? We have, for example, on our webpage, I think what I believe was a very compact tract that was adapted for webpage purposes that is available in multiple languages. And I have used that to some great advantage when I'm around people that fall into one of those language groupings. Just pass them one of the tracts and ask them if they would read it. And would you please call me? Let me know what you think about your native tongue in this particular piece of literature. Only one time, as I recall, was ever a call made back. But I have to assume that maybe at least someone would pick the thing up and read it and then cue in to WWW Grace Baptist and see the thing, how it's laid out there, and hear it or see it in their own language. I think that's a proper usage of the tools that we have available. I want to go from there to the target area. And there's two places well known, and then one that provides a definition, a close definition of both. You're familiar with the end of Matthew chapter 28, where we are to go into all the world and teach, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, but go into all nations. You're familiar with that. You're also familiar with the passage, which is a passage of promise that appears in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where prior to the day of Pentecost, the disciples were told to go to Jerusalem and wait. And please understand that they were sent to Jerusalem to wait because that would be precisely the starting point for their seed sowing enterprise going forward. Now, it is true that they had to be run out of Jerusalem. Persecution would drive them out, and yet that did not silence them. That did not stifle their efforts. So they went to wait, and then the instructions came that by virtue of and with the assistance of the power of the Holy Spirit, they would begin at Jerusalem. And it's an amazing thing how God providentially brought all kind of ethnic groups and language groups to that location on that day to hear the gospel. And then they were to proceed from there to Judea, to Samaria, then proceed to the uttermost. You're familiar with those two places. Let me have you look, please, at Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In the aftermath of Pentecost, a definition of the target. It says there was a great persecution at the church in Jerusalem. And please notice in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The definition of our target is captioned in everywhere. Everywhere. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world. Okay, that's a pretty broad target. You can't miss that target. Not even with a rifle. You can't miss that target with a rifle. Narrow it down to Jerusalem, then to the smaller segments in which they would travel in their day, a little bit smaller target. But whenever you look at everywhere, everyone, everywhere is a target. We do not exclude anybody because of their racial ethnicity. We do not exclude anybody because of their political distinctions. We don't care if they're what their gender is. We don't care with regard to how black their sins are or how obnoxious and toxic they may be. Don't care. Everywhere, everybody, everywhere is a target. And so whenever we think about that, you are going to find places in hospitals. You're going to find places in hospice units. You're going to find opportunities in nursing homes. You'll be able to find, again, as I mentioned before, in Armstrong County, there are numerous active duty military families that are struggling today with essential needs because of the absence of a member of their family who happened to be a breadwinner. The disabled American veterans are always looking. Do you remember the name of the guy we had visit in our church for a long time? Do you remember his name from the disabled veterans group? Do you remember his name? Steve. What was his last name? Steve Spolder. And do you remember the two or three times where he brought his pals here? Okay. Guys like that. Opportunities. You know, again, the driving operational machinery is that as God gives you an opportunity, seize it. When opportunity knocks, answer the door. Don't pretend it's a bill collector. Don't assume you just don't have time to talk to anybody. Open the door. But you have, with any degree of accomplishment on the part of the individuals in our church family, and as I mentioned on Sunday, much of what that I'm talking about tonight has been going on already. This is not a thing newly come up. There are many people in our church for years personally have carried on testimony and given witness and facilitated the sharing of the gospel in one form, fashion, or another. And that seed that has been sown, and remember now the promise that was made, God's word will not return void. You put a seed in, there's going to be a bloom, one way or the other. But it will not fall useless to the ground. It will accomplish His purpose. And so you have senior citizens, you have public servants, you have your neighbors right across the street from you. I like what Bob and Joyce do with their neighbors across the road there. And the family that was directly across the street from you. What was their name there? Yeah. I like what that's just a sample. And I know that others of you carry on a personal relationship with neighbor. That's a good thing. I mean, Dan has a great relationship with his neighbor. All he has to have is a shovel. You have to be on a personal, heartfelt basis to be able to acquire from a neighbor the things that Dan does for his garden. It's just a blessing. Now, he may not think that's anything, but in reality, that is. How many years have people seen you live where you live and see the testimony that you bear? That just blows seed all around the place. So you have there at Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the way I see it, a close definition of what Matthew 28 teaches and what Acts 1:8 brings to mind. Now, when we think about one other thing here, there has come up this past week or two, the information from the Pennsylvania Baptist for Life and Families. Pennsylvania Baptist for Life was established back in 1986 and added the families as part of the logo, and has for years operated an 800 number all across the state where young women or families in crisis could call, receive help from a trained counselor, and have referrals made to local churches like ours and pastors and people who would be interested in that. That ministry is coming to an end. Over the years, the ladies who had manned the 800 number have dwindled. And from what I understand, we still have in the state of Pennsylvania 100 babies being slaughtered every day. 100. Every day. And I guess the executive committee has established a December deadline that if no one is able to step up to direct the ministry and to secure help with regard to the hotline, it'll probably just go off into the pages of history. But there's an opportunity that potentially can reach people from all over this state. And well, I don't deny the fact, well, I think Armstrong County has some abortions. I don't think that we have the proliferation of abortions like, say, Allegheny County or Chester County or Schuylkill County out east. I don't think that to that degree, but one or two is deadly enough, don't you think? And so a lot of that 800 number ministry would benefit not so much Grace Baptist Church immediately or directly, but somebody else, but more importantly, and most importantly, affect the life of a child whose life is in danger and a mother who will never be able to put that act in the rearview mirror, ever. So that's one of the for instances that I share with you. And of course, whenever we think about missions expansion as you have it in your, at the bottom of the thing here, you know, we have Herb and Wanda coming on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. And they have a nationwide ministry to the Hispanic community. In a variety of ways do they assist in training and encouraging Hispanic churches. We have Chris Brown and his international scoped technological ministry in which he's able to implement some of what we've been talking about here in grander ways than I can even imagine, and assist churches in different ways with the equipment and the know-how to make an effective outreach in their communities. We also have Arlen and Ellen plugging away over at Fort Dix, engaging people in conversations, passing out literature as they go, and sowing the seed. And of course, we don't want to forget praying for Byron and Libby. I think Byron is heading back to Russia here in October. Leon and Donna are holed up in Anchorage, Alaska, assisting the church's one of the churches up there, and Renee and Sonia have fallen off the radar, Einfeld, but I'm assuming that they're still engaged. But in any event, mission expansion, we ought to at least have a vision for a representative Grace Baptist Church in Asia, in Europe, in Australia, or South America, Canada, wherever. We ought to at least have a vision for that, and as God would enable financially, to give that consideration. It's very difficult, however, to find missionaries that will are able to see things as we see them here from a doctrinal standpoint. Very, very difficult to find that to be the case. So that's one of the challenges. Now, there are three things I want to leave you with that God has provided for us with regard to this. First of all, He has provided for us a guide in the Scriptures. Acts 1:8, a guide. Many people never or seldom get anything of much accomplished because they simply don't know where to start. They don't know where to start. And once they get started, they sometimes have a difficult time sustaining the energy. Well, God has given us a guide in Acts 1:8. He's given us a place to start. Now, you can define Jerusalem however you want. For our purposes as an institution, a church, we will define it as the greater Katanning area. Okay, that's our Jerusalem. Now, how far in a big old circle you want to go with that, it makes no never mind to me. But He's given us a place to start. But in the confines, in that big old circle of the greater Katanning area, there is Jerusalem right across your fence. There's Jerusalem where you buy your groceries, where you get your medical attention. Your doctors are in Jerusalem. Your lab technicians are in Jerusalem. Your postal carrier is part of Jerusalem. The state road workers are in Jerusalem. Those who pick up your garbage every week, regularly and faithfully. The G-men are in your Jerusalem. And nothing like a couple of times a year, giving them a card with a tract in it and a little monetary gift to say, thank you for what you do. Wouldn't you? Aren't you glad somebody comes by and picks up your stuff? Really? I think it's an encouragement to those guys when one poor old bird's hanging on the back of a truck at below freezing temperatures and dropping off the truck, picking up everybody's stuff and throwing it in there and hits the side of the truck, and the guy who's driving, he just goes on down the road again. I don't know if they swap out and one guy jumps in and the other guy jumps out. I don't know how they do that. But they're all part of our Jerusalem. Any relatives you have that are within reach are in your Jerusalem. Former colleagues within reach are in your Jerusalem. The opportunities multitudinous. But He's given us a guide. But He's also given us a goal. Secondly, a goal. And the goal is not only Jerusalem, which is near sight, but He's given us a goal that will extend to the uttermost. Now, we want to think about uttermost. There, most of the uttermost that we're talking about, we will never put our feet down on. But we can facilitate the reach to the uttermost by our prayers, by our notes of encouragement to those who are living abroad and for Jesus' namesake and who are faithfully serving Him there as opportunity provides, financially supporting the same. And when they arrive back here, to give their report. I believe that it's a great ministry that the local church has, is to tangibly show their support to those for whom they pray and have a vital interest in ministry with. Now you remember, do you remember the guy's name? Came here as a single man. I felt bad for him. I really felt bad for the guy. He is a single man, well-lettered, took a pretty good stand, as I recall. Just got filed up in the wrong mission agency, but that's been all corrected now. Do you remember who his name was? Came here, he's a chief translator. for his agency. Do you remember his name? Stayed over at your house. Big tall guy. Troy. Remember him? Well, you know, I just got a letter from him the other day. You know what God did for him? He sure did. He got a wife. He got himself a woman now. Oksana is her name. A beautiful young lady. And now, all those lonely pilgrimages to the outer banks of God's world are not traveled alone anymore. He has a helpmeet. But they're the guys like that are out there. Now, he's given us a place where the goal is concerned to reach to the uttermost. And you understand the critical nature of, let's just say, a ministry like this where he's involved in translation work, where they're taking the texts of Scripture and producing it in different ethnic groupings, and the Word of God is being placed in the hands of people that have never, in some cases, had their own copy of Scripture. Talk about seed sowing. That's amazing to me. So when we think about the uttermost, we're Byron Shear for 15 years has been wanting to buy my ticket to go with him to Russia. And I said, I ain't interested. I ain't going. Sorry. You go ahead and fly for me, brother. My prayers are with you. I'm not going to Russia with you. Every year he comes back and he's doing the same thing. I'm not interested in it. God did not lay that on my heart. I don't have a burden to be there physically. I did all my flying years ago. I'm not interested in getting in one again. I ain't going to do it. But there are places where we will never go physically, but we will be there tangibly. And God marks that down on the record as well. That he marks that on the record. And so he's given us a guide and a goal, and then he's given us this guarantee. A guarantee. See it for yourself. Again, this is a good memorization verse. It has a companion verse in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 48. This is a guarantee. We're talking about seed sowing, friends. Can I just say to you that there'll be no crop failure? There will be absolutely no crop failure. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What was this that they heard? Link that to verse 39. Verse 39, what's not to be glad about? And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you realize that that last statement in that particular verse virtually eliminates the greater percentage of Protestant Christianity in their viewpoint of salvation? Do you realize that Bible-believing Christian people are in a small minority when it comes to the doctrine of salvation? For we believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. The vast majority of Protestant Christianity has apostatized and have sought to add something to grace in order to secure salvation. And so, whenever I look at Acts 13:48, I have a guarantee. And the good news, I mean, that's glad news there in verse 39. And keep this in mind. We can define faith. You can cut and quarter your own definition as it suits you. But I like the one I read in Acts 27, out of the words of the apostle, when he was trying to encourage everybody to steady up. Man up in the storm. Don't bail out. Don't bail out. There stood by me an angel this night who told me, this, and this. We're going to be in Rome. And I believe that it shall be even as the Lord hath said. That is a summary statement on Bible faith. What has God said? I believe it. Period. So we have the guide, we have a goal, and we have this guarantee. Let's sow seed. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This just provides little nooks and crannies and doorways and crevices to get the seed out, get the seed in. And it organized crudely in such a way as to allow you to take your little notes, remember it, and proceed forth from it. Now, between now and next Wednesday, pray about this. At least be on the prayer wagon with it, and then we'll have more opportunity to talk at it at length next week, and I'll give some more details concerning some of the innermost workings of the plan where the web is concerned and the radio programming and the opportunities that are potentially there for us to get this, get the word out. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear God and our Father, we thank you. Thank you so very much for providing a Savior who has paid for our sins. And now we know beyond a doubt that all of our sins have been cared for. We've been forgiven. We need not fear your return. Judgment has fallen upon our Redeemer. Now we with joy await. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that that might motivate us and stir us to be the kind of Christians that are always consistently the same, righteous and holy, each day, every day. And Lord, then add to that, give us a spirit of holy boldness in the process of it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.